This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. With breakup past, boats have returned to the Kuskokwim River and thoughts of salmon fishing are on the mind. Regulations for the fishery will look similar to recent years. King salmon harvest on the lower Kuskokwim River will once again be limited to federally qualified subsistence users, that is, residents of the Kuskokwim River drainage and the coastal communities of Chifornik, Kipnuk, Kwagillingok, and Kangeganak. The request for the restriction came from the Akiak Native community, the organized village of Gwithuk, and former Aniak resident Lamont Albertson. Those restrictions begin June 1st, or at the beginning of the King Salmon Run, whichever comes first. They apply to federal waters from the Kuskokwim River mouth to the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge marker at Aniak. The Federal Subsistence Board approved the restrictions May 1st. Like last year, the fishery will be managed by the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge director in consultation with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. The King Salmon Run could look similar to last year. State biologists forecast 193 to 261,000 king salmon returning to the Kuskokwim. Last year, return exceeded the state forecast for that summer and was 5% greater than the historical average. The increase comes after nearly a decade of king salmon conservation and sacrifice from subsistence families along the Kuskokwim. King salmon conservation will continue this summer. Tomorrow, a look at the timing and the fishing restrictions scheduled to begin in June. Moving north, management of the Yukon River salmon season is in flux. Some of that is normal. No one ever knows whether the fish will show up in the numbers predicted. But there is a new factor. KYUK's Johanna Urich reports that this year, the state and the river communities are looking at how best to monitor salmon while at the same time keeping local people safe from the coronavirus pandemic.
This summer, the Yukon River fishery is going to be managed out of Anchorage. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Holly Carroll usually flies to her office in Amonik to manage the fishery during the salmon run. Not this year. Biologist Matthew Keyes says the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will also not be manning their office there either. Instead, the staff will be staying home in Fairbanks. But you don't have to go up the Yukon River to Amonik to see the change. It starts downstream at the sonar project near Pilot Station, where Fish and Game counts salmon swimming up the Yukon and also samples genetic information to help estimate how many king salmon are swimming all the way to Canada. The logistics for setting the gear up and supporting crews out in rural Alaska are routine. But now managers must also work with villagers to protect people from the risk of COVID-19. That's not routine. Some people in Pilot Station have expressed support for the project and the department's approach, but community leaders have not yet formally given approval for the state's mitigation plans. They're expected to do so soon. Most rural Alaskans want to find a way to keep on fishing because it's an important source of income and food. Carol, who manages the Yukon fishery, says the information from Pilot Station is crucial. Without it, she would have to manage the king salmon harvest based on the lowest predicted return, and that could reduce harvests of both the coveted kings and opportunities for commercial and subsistence fishing for the other salmon species. This summer's information is also being limited by the loss of two fish weirs on a couple of the Yukon's tributaries. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service usually operates those weirs. But Matthew Keyes says travel bans and other restrictions and safety concerns caused by the pandemic made it too logistically complicated, adding that it should not affect the management of the Yukon fisheries. Carol, who manages the Yukon summer season for the state, agrees. The information from the weirs is more important as an escapement report card, she says, whereas the Pilot Station sonar is essential for determining the strength of the run. A mitigation plan for Eagle is also in the works. That's where a sonar station counts king salmon just before they reach the border. Under a treaty agreement, the U.S. must assure enough of the Yukon River's king salmon swim into Canada to meet both escapement standards and provide a share of the harvest for Canadian fishermen. For KYUK, I'm Johanna Urich.
In municipal news, Bethel's unique taxicab system was a big issue in last night's city council meeting. The Bethel City Council introduced an ordinance that would allow the city manager to extend the COVID-19 cab fare structure, but it rejected a proposal to go to a meter system. Before the cab discussion, though, the council made it official. Bethel Winter House will be open through summer. Councilmember Hugh Dimet acknowledged concerns about housing a large number of people in one area during the COVID-19 pandemic, but with the shelter providing people masks and access to a bathroom, he said the public health benefits outweigh the risk. He said assuring there is a place for housing insecure people to wash their hands would help protect the whole town from disease spread. Bethel City Council also introduced an ordinance that would extend Bethel's COVID-19 emergency declaration for 90 days. The emergency declaration provides the city manager and council flexibility to suspend or modify the Bethel Municipal Code. Using that flexibility, the previous acting city manager changed the city's cab fare structure, and current city manager Vinny Carraza gifted $15,000 to the Bethel Winter House. Both times, the city manager was allowed to act without council approval. Councilmember Alyssa Leary asked if extending the emergency declaration would also extend the COVID-19 cab fare structure that charges riders $5 plus $1 per minute. City Attorney Libby Bacalar said the emergency declaration does give the city manager the power to decide that. Later in the meeting, the council shot down Carraza's proposal to require cabs to install meters that took into account distance traveled as well as the base fare. No council member would second the motion to introduce the ordinance, so it died before a vote. The city council also directed the city administration to resume maintenance on the road to Haroldson subdivision. Several residents of that subdivision had recently complained to the city that emergency services like police are unable to reach the subdivision because of unmaintained roads. The city also cleared the way for work on another subdivision. Council members voted to approve the zoning designation in Blue Sky subdivision. 75 lots will be residential and 3 lots can be used by businesses. Planning Director Ted Myers said Blue Sky developers expect to start platting the land by July 15th. And in her monthly director's report, Acting Police Chief Amy Davis shared some surprisingly low numbers with the City Council. In April, the police department received 951 calls, down 681 calls from the same time last year. And calls for intoxicated pedestrians were down even more dramatically. Last month, there were 123 calls, compared to 532 the year before. In an interview last week, Davis said she suspects both the COVID-19 pandemic and instituting local option alcohol restrictions were big factors affecting these numbers. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for NewsUkTune coming up.